Hey everyone, welcome back to Curious Careers. Today I have a good friend of mine, Connor Buckley, otherwise known as Buck Army on Twitch and YouTube. How you doing, Connor?
Doing good, dude. How are you?
Doing well, man. Doing well. I know it's been a while since we talked, and I kind of wanted to get up to speed on things. It seems like since we graduated, everything's kind of taken off for you.
No, yeah, everything's been good, and obviously I'm happy to catch up right now.
Yeah, totally. So for those of you who don't know, Connor and I went to school together. We went to Menlo College, finished up our last year together. And while he was at Menlo, he was building up his Twitch stream as well as his YouTube. And actually, he's a full-time streamer, YouTuber. He is now the owner of also an esports team as well, I believe.
Yeah.
564. So, You know, things have really taken off for you in the last couple of years, man. So I guess, like, just to start off, like, how did you get into streaming in the first place?
I think we both know that Menlo sucked. That was basically what happened. There wasn't a whole lot to do. No, I had buddies that would like watch me play video games whenever they come over, and they thought it was funny. And they're like, yo, have you ever heard of Twitch? And they showed me this guy named Raj Patel was his name. And he used to stream RuneScape. So I watched him and I was like, wow, this actually looks cool. Cause there's people I'd get to play video games with, considering like there's people that watch, you know. I thought, I don't know, I'd have more friends. So I started doing it, and then took a break, and then went to Menlo, and then tried again. It worked out.
And with that streaming setup, was it like, you know, obviously you have a crazy professional setup right now, but like, how do you just get even started on it? Because I feel like some people think they need like a full PC rig and setup to get started. Was that the case when you first started?
No, because I get that question a load in the stream too about like what should I get like starting off and everything. it sounds really, really dumb, but we used to stream off of the Kinect on the Xbox, like that stupid camera that you put on top of it. So we used to do that, and we had no idea there was even a chat room like going on like that. So we had absolutely no clue. So we'd sit there and we just like look at the little viewer number, and it would be like, it'd go like 3, 4, 5, and we're all like cheering. But if they were typing, we had absolutely no clue, which is like, we were idiots for that. But no, what I tell people to do is like start off. I mean, if you want to, like, if you have the cash to go get yourself like a really nice PC, you don't necessarily, I don't know. It's not like you're going to throw it away if you don't end up using it for streaming. Like, you can use it for real life stuff, and it'll just help you out later on. But what I've told people is just like have like your phone next to you, stream off whatever console you have, you know, and just have the chat open and just be able to talk to people and try it for a few weeks and see if you really, really want to keep doing it, and then maybe go invest the money after.
Yeah. And I guess the good news is like when you got started, right, you were at Menlo, so you had a lot of time and it wasn't like you were working all that much. So at least you had the availability to stream at least part-time just to get up and running for it. It seems like a lot of people are trying to make it a job right away, which doesn't seem like the safest way.
No, that's the problem. And I think there's some guy that came out with like a massive YouTube video. It completely blew up. He was basically talking about how he prioritized Twitch over everything for like a year and a half, to the point that like he lost his wife, he lost the right to see his kids, like all this like crazy, crazy stuff. But the reality is, it's like, it's so hard to blow up on Twitch. So it has to, like, exactly like you were saying, it's got to start off at a time where you have the free time. It's not like you're forcing the time, but you have the free time to give it a go, like do it kind of like in a healthy way. And then if it starts to pick up, then maybe you can go for other things. But yeah, no, I mean, even for myself, I've threw my social life out the window when I was trying to do this full time. Like when me and you graduated, I went home for 6 months. And that's basically what I asked my mom. I'm like, yo, can I have 6 months to see if I can do it full time? But I think I logged 1 month, like 330 something hours live, which is like, you know, on average, like 13 hours a day or something like that. So I don't know.
And it was off hours too. Like I remember we had a conversation, I think, when we were back in college about, you know, how if you stream during main hours, you couldn't compete with a lot of the main streamers. So you were streaming funky hours too.
It was like I'd get on at like 8 p.m. and I'd get off at like 9 a.m. It was like the weirdest schedule ever. So it definitely wasn't healthy. But no, that's the other thing about Twitch too, is like, and that's where it's so tough, especially to like to find your way into a video game now. Because even now, I don't think I'd be able to compete nearly as much if I were to stream like normal hours during the day. Because just everybody and their mom is online is the problem.
Yeah, well, also at this point, right, the stream and the viewers you built up have associated you with this time frame, right? So it's not like they're going to be there if you start streaming at like 4 p.m. It's going to be different viewers, so you'd have to, you know, completely change how everything is set up for you.
No, exactly. I think what I like, just the, I guess that's the way of Twitch, is you expect people to be on at certain times. So like they already have their streamer that they watch in the morning. They already have their streamer they watch in the afternoon. And it's like, you got to try to fit yourself into that time slot of like whatever one, I guess you are, to be that streamer for them. But yeah, no, if you change around your schedule, it can completely just destroy your channel.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it makes sense. I guess it makes sense also as to why streamers in their page, you know, have times where they say, hey, I'm going to be on at 5 p.m. PST for 3 nights a week or whatever that time frame is.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, it, you know, I guess going back to college, right, you're talking about the transition from it being kind of a fun time into more of a job. At what point, I guess I saw a little bit of this evolution senior year, but like at what point did you recognize that, okay, I have a shot at actually making this something, and you were seeing numbers go up, and was there kind of a turning point, or was it more just kind of gradual as like, okay, I'm starting to get, you know, a couple additional viewers a week. Now we're up to 40, 50 viewers a night. Now we're up to 100. At what point was it, okay, I'm going to try to make this my job?
It was, I don't know, because I guess the whole landscape of Twitch has changed so much now. Back then, like being a Twitch partner was like a huge, huge deal. It meant like you averaged enough viewership that it like turned legitimate. You could start getting subscriptions and everything. Cause before that, all you could do was just get PayPal donations, I think was literally it. So for me, I was like, you know what, if I become a partner before I graduate, like I'll give it a go. And that's, I think you need to be averaging like just, I think it was just like triple digits. So it was like, oh, only over 100 viewers or something like that. And I told myself I didn't have partnership by the end of like graduating that I would just kind of give it up. Cause I'd done it for like 2 years at that point, like on and off. And with like soccer and everything, it was tough, like playing and trying to balance it all. But yeah, and it was literally like exactly a month before I graduated, I got it. And that was kind of like the turning point for me. Cause I guess before that, it would be kind of like one-off nights you would make money. Like maybe like somebody donated this night or whatever. But once you start having the ability for people to subscribe on a monthly basis where it renews, you kind of have, I don't know, you're able to kind of do the math and see income like come in every single month and not have to worry about it.
It's more predictable.
Exactly. Yeah. Definitely. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. I remember, I think it might have been like October-ish of senior year when you got the email that you were a partner and you like immediately printed out and we went and got dinner and just everything was just, it was different now, man. It's different now, man. Cause like I think they lowered it. So you, to be a partner, it's like
75 viewers,
but also I think you can get subscriptions even before you're a partner. Now you can be like a Twitch associate or something like that.
That's the thing. And that's like the thing that's kind of weird about Twitch now is the fact that they're like selling dreams, in my opinion, where you can be, it's like you need to have 50 followers and average 3 viewers and you can get, become an affiliate and you could literally get every single perk that a partner has. You just don't have a little check mark next to your name and that's it.
That's wild to me. I mean, obviously part of it's the fact that Twitch gets income off of subscriptions is yeah, part of it, but yeah, but also, I don't know, man. I think people also don't recognize like what being a partner, at least back in the day, was compared to what it is now. And they take it for granted because like, dude, you were grinding so hard, like even in school, just to get that done. You had classes in the morning and then you were streaming from like freaking 7 p.m. and on, and like it just,
dude, the grossest one that I had was when we were doing the internships over the summer, and it was like wake up at 6 a.m. be at work till like 4:30, go to the gym, like eat, be back at like my room at 7, and then play till like 12, and then it's like same thing over and over for like 10 weeks, and trying to balance a freaking relationship on top of that too. It was,
that's right,
awful. Yeah,
oh my god. I think it just goes to show that like no matter what job you do, what industry, you know, freelance, you know, even if you're an entertainer, like kind of you are, it's a grind to get to where you are, and you just got to put in the time. And even if you put in the time, there's no guarantee. And I think you hit a good sweet spot, right? Because you're entertaining. You also have a background in soccer itself outside of, you know, actually playing FIFA, which is just your main game in general. But it seems to me that there was like every streamer who becomes bigger has a little bit of something that's different in order for them to stand out. Besides all of the just chatting streamers, which we can talk about at some point.
They definitely stand out.
Yeah, yeah. But it seems to me like you're able to really connect with your community in a way that a lot of people don't. And your community is something that, even as I've been watching, that's something that I've recognized as like a really big strong point for you. Cause you were posting YouTube videos of like your Sunday soccer league and stuff, and people were super pumped to watch that. And it's super different content compared to, you know, your FIFA streams. But at the same time, you know, people were still excited to see what you were doing. And I think that that, you know, makes you stand out compared to, I think, like sometimes like a Summit, for example, who's clearly awesome at what he does, but maybe the community aspect isn't as big there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird one though, too, because I think you go through different transition periods. So like for Summit, for instance, when he's averaging like 30, 40,000 viewers, it's, I think it's hard to have a community feel at that point.
Right.
Just because you aren't able to individually talk to the people that maybe you would talk to every single day, like coming up on the website and everything. I don't know. I think the person, I don't know if you watch him, but I think the person who does it the best is Nick Merckx. He has like the strongest community vibe like ever. Like, I don't, it's crazy. And like, he's so good at what he does too. I think he's kind of like my inspiration as well, to be like him. He remembers everything about everybody. Like there could be 50,000 people in the chat and some kid will come in there randomly that hasn't been there for like 3 months and be like, hey man, like how's your dog? Like he'll remember a comment from that kid. It's weird stuff like that. But yeah, no, I think the community aspect is obviously it's a good thing, but it's also what makes Twitch a lot of fun too, is when you actually know people on like a personal standpoint.
Sure. And I guess the community also like stems into the other pieces, right? Of like the guys that you play with, the guys that you've lived with, you know, you have Pistol Pete who you just rip on all the time on Twitter and YouTube.
Everybody does. Yeah.
But it's funny, right? Cause it's not like you guys are picking on him. It's more just like, that's just Pete.
Exactly.
And you know, people talk trash about you and people talk trash about, you know, your, What's your roommate, M-Bone?
Yeah.
Like the vibe that all of you guys have together, it's like, it's really conducive to a good, I think, community base, even outside of like, cause I bet all of your viewers, you know, there's some overlap, but there's probably a little bit of difference between you guys as well to where you're able to introduce your viewers to M-Bone or to Pistol Pete and vice versa. Which seems to be a big part in general is like the community aspect of the people who play FIFA.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that for sure. It's, I don't know. It's, if you're watching a live stream and you hear somebody's name over and over and over and over and over, whether like good or bad, you know, it's like no one ever really like full on talks like shit about each other on Twitch. But like, if you're just giving somebody a hard time, they're bound to go check them out, you know, and like already kind of feel a sense of, I guess, like they already like know the person. But yeah, that's the vibe. I think surrounding yourself with the right people on the website is huge. Not necessarily for like each other's gain or anything like that, because there is a lot of people that like, and I see it too, where like people will purposely be in other people's streams and typing all the time because they're hoping that they get like a raid or a host or some crap off them. But no, when you can tell that there's like genuine friendship between streamers, I think that's where the communities like completely mesh, and it's like it's perfect. It's cool to see.
Yeah, I think one of the ways that I've seen it just for the FIFA community in general is a lot of like the EA shows that you guys go to, whether it's like where you're playing with, you know, professional other actual professional soccer players, or, you know, like the I think it's like the pre FIFA shows where they come out and they're, you know, you're opening up like 1,000 packs or whatever.
Yeah.
Those events, like some of those videos are really just interesting because you can see like the camaraderie between everyone. Obviously there's like some of that can be fake, but like most of it seems fairly genuine just in terms of a lot of the guys that are there. But I mean, like how are those events? Like it seems interesting for a couple of reasons. Like it seems like EA recognizes that you guys are influencing people's decisions on being excited for these games, but like how does EA treat you and how do you get invited to those events?
So I think the first one that I was really, I mean, there's a few of them. Cause like I've been invited to Twitch events. I'm invited to like EA events. Mm-hmm. The EA one that we did, it was like the capture event for FIFA 19, I believe. So they flew, I think like 150 of us out to Germany. And we all literally just got to sit down for like 3 days, I think for like 12 hours a day. It was long days. But they had set up like this entire warehouse of like computers and games and everything. So we literally just got to film for 3 full days and kind of get all of our content ready. And we were able to release it, I think, a week before FIFA came out. Was the way that it works. But no, it's there's like, I don't know how to describe it without like sounding bad at all. They'll take like the really, really big guys are the ones that they'll take for everything. It was obviously really cool of them to bring everybody out there because they gave everybody a chance, whether you had like 10 viewers or to 100 viewers or Castro's getting like 100,000 viewers.
Right.
But yeah, no, it was cool for them to do that. But no, they usually select it off of like size and everything. So it'll be like the crazy big guys that have over a million subs on YouTube or followers on Twitch that get invited to all these events and everything. But no, like you were saying about like, everybody seems like the camaraderie is awesome. Dude, everybody's so nice. Everybody's like, you'd expect like, I think one of my like fears was that I was concerned that some of these guys would have egos. And I think people definitely do. I've met people that have complete egos.
Sure.
But I've also, for instance, like met the Sidemen. I don't know if you watch the Sidemen at all. I met like Toby and Simon and Zerka, and where they were, you would never even know they were famous unless like you didn't see all the little kids yelling in the background like the entire time while they're anywhere they go. But dude, they were the nicest, like most humble guys in the entire world. And I don't know, it's cool. So yeah, I don't think none of it on camera, I think, is fake, because everybody gets on so well together afterwards too.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think one of the coolest things out of the events that I saw was you got to go play FIFA with Harry Kane, which is, I mean, just one meeting Harry Kane in general is on that list, but being able to play FIFA with him. Can you talk a little bit about like that experience and that event in general? Cause that seems just pretty insane to me about that.
That was like the most wild event ever. And I was even talking to Bateson about it. And if you don't know who Bateson 87 is, he's got like nearly 1.5 million subs on YouTube. This guy's done everything. He's met like probably every player in the world at this point and done videos with them. And he even said that was the best event that he's ever been to in his life. It was the Twitch Prime Crown Cup, I think is what it was called. So basically, I think they did it for FIFA and they did it for Apex. And I think Apex was in Vegas and ours was in London. But they invited loads of celebrities out. It's basically like a celebrity and streamer tournament. So 4 streamers got invited out there. Castro was hosting it. So it was like me, Pieface, Bateson, and Captain Tom. And yeah, no, I thought my team was definitely the coolest. I had Harry Kane, Carl Anthony Towns was on my team. And then Maya Jama, who's like I think she's like a spokesperson out there. I think she's dating like a famous rapper, like Stormzy, like the UK rapper.
Yeah, she's a UK celeb more than
exactly. But yeah, no, but on top of that, it was like you look at all the other teams too, and it's like Thierry Henry is there.
that's insane.
Yeah, playing FIFA against Thierry Henry. Peter Crouch, who has been like such a meme on my stream forever, like he was there. Rio Ferdinand was there. It was just like, it was absolutely unbelievable. So, and then there's like, what was that other guy's name? I won't remember his name right now, but there's celebrities galore. But no, it's like you obviously get to play FIFA with them and then you get to go back and hang out backstage with them and just talk to them like humans. And I don't know, it was really, really cool.
Yeah. What was it like kind of being around Harry Kane? Because I think we all see him play in the Prem and get to see just how dominant he is up top. And, you know, he doesn't seem like a guy that would carry an ego, but I'd be curious to see your thought on that.
Yeah. No, he didn't carry an ego at all. He was just a good dude. They were all, once again, you expect egos. It's the whole thing where they tell you never to meet your heroes or anything like that. But no, he was super nice. And it was really funny because we were all sitting there, like we all had like the couch that we sat on while we played. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm thinking, you know what, if anybody's watching this, they want to see Kane play. They want to see Carl Anthony Towns play. Like they see me play every single night. So I'm trying to pass the controller as much as possible because it's like a 2v2 tournament. But so like, I'll try to pass it to Kane and Kane's like, no, keep it. Like just like keep it. Cause they wanted to win. It was like, right. I really did not think they'd be that into it. But no, like every single, I mean, you can see the celebrations and stuff, dude. Carl Anthony Towns, like chest bumping. I like purposely went for a chest bump with Harry Kane as well. I was like, F it, I'm going for it for a highlight reel thing.
Yeah, absolutely. When do you get a chance to do that again?
Yeah, exactly. Like high fives, everything all around. So, and like, even after that, like I had Carl Anthony Towns like clowning me on Twitter and everything, like just like kind of like just like fun stuff, you know? And I was talking crap back to him and everything, but no, I mean, once in a million opportunity and it was a really, really cool time.
I mean, it's got to feel surreal, right? We were at Menlo, 3.5 years ago? And to be where you are now, it's got to feel, it definitely probably feels longer than I think most people see it. But like, you got to take a look back sometimes and be like, wow, this is pretty freaking cool.
No, it was. And then, yeah, it's always weird as well when people ask me in like the stream, they're like, who have you met? And I have to like go think back to everything that's been happening. But I met like I think the last year and a half, I've met Landon Donovan like 3 times at events, to the point that like the last time, which I don't know if it was really appropriate, but he walked by me and I said, what's up, dude? And like, he gave me like a little head nod, and I'm like, and they all look at me like every MLS person looks at me like I'm an idiot. I'm like, dude, I've met him 3 times, like chill. But it is really, really weird to think. And I don't know. It's weird. I don't know how else to describe it. It's just weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been really pumped to see kind of the growth. I think when you graduated, what I remember was your YouTube subs were like 10K. You had just gotten partnered, and now you're at, you know, over 100,000 followers on Twitch. You have over 100,000 subs on YouTube, and your stream is just so consistent. And now you've expanded, right? You got 564 Esports, which is an esports team. What was the impetus to you know, I guess expanding outside of what you're normally doing?
I think it's the I don't know how to describe it. I think once you do something for long enough, you get a little bit tired of it, I think. So sure. For me, for FIFA, it's been like 5 years of playing FIFA every single day. And I had done like the whole pro scene with like the Colorado Rapids and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, I enjoyed it. Like, it was good. It was fun. But at the same time, it took so much away from my live stream. So I think last year was still a good year of streaming for me, but it was just not enough growth, in my opinion, that I would have like truly wanted to go for.
Sure.
So I was like, F it. I would much rather, with kind of like what we have and I guess the team that I've kind of put together that works on 564, be able to kind of blow up somebody that is actually very, very good at the video game, you know? And that was kind of the whole idea of it, is that like creators for creators, you know? We have Pieface, who's absolutely massive. He has like, I think he's averaging like 4,000 to 5,000 viewers a stream right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, he's huge. And he's got, I think he's about to hit 200,000 on Twitch. He's already at like 150,000 on YouTube. He was originally like a UK celebrity. He was on the Big Brother out there. I think he was like Final Four on Big Brother. And that's, he's joined. We have another guy now too named FIFA Analyst, who is absolutely blowing up. He's like a professional FIFA coach. So we've added him as a coach, and it's we had some guy qualified. His name was Sarge. We had a player already qualified for the next big FIFA event and everything. So it was, everything kind of got put on hold with the coronavirus, but now we just want to be able to blow somebody up. That was like the thing, and kind of have somebody that we can all root for without, and like be a part of something without us having to put in all that time to get that much better at the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's also different than the EMLS, right? Because so EMLS, for those who don't know, you're associated with an MLS team. So it's, you know, already established teams, versus this seems to be, you know, you're trying to blow up someone and support someone who's actually going to go to the main FIFA events, which is a completely different, you know, subset of tournaments.
Exactly, yeah.
And then with the team, so it sounds like it's a mixture of getting someone to blow up who's going to go play these tournaments, but it sounds like it's also a mixture of like a stream team as well, right? So it's a community of streamers alongside the actual competitive aspect of it.
Yeah, so that was the thing. I think we have like 6 content creators that are on there right now that are a part of the team. And I think the whole angle of what we have compared to other esports organizations that just start off is that, I guess the way to describe, I think a lot of other orgs need to kind of throw money at the beginning, like throw a lot of money to get a player and like convince anybody to come over there. You know what I mean? Because if you can't offer them viewership, or you can't offer them new followers or exposure, money is really the only thing that you can offer them. So for us, when we bring a player on, it's now that in every single stream you'll hear from all these different content creators, it's, hey, Sarge is playing this week, Sarge is playing this week, Sarge is playing this week. And once we get into the tournament, it's going to be just him throughout the chat the entire time, because you have like 6 different polls of communities that are all rooting for one player now. So that was like, that was our angle with everything. So yeah, we never plan on taking prize money ever from our players or anything like that. It's just I don't know, just build something really, really cool.
Yeah,
the community we have.
And it's enticing, right? I think just in general, because that model of like, I guess like the Cloud9s of the world, where it's like, okay, we're going to invest money in you guys and we expect a return out of it. If you're giving them something then other than cash, which, you know, clearly you guys are, you're developing these players into like good streamers and stuff as well. You know, it takes the money out of the equation, which I think also makes everyone's experience a little bit better, right? Because you're not taking any, you're not taking any money from them. You know, but you're helping him develop, and you have a community around him that's supporting him, and it's bigger than the monetary, I think, piece that people always kind of harp on when they hear esports players. You know,
that's what we've said, is that basically I think a lot of people go for a cash grab, and that's what I've learned about just like everything in this industry is like, oh, I want to get paid for this. I want to get paid for this. I want to get paid for this. But in the long run, if for instance, you know, which like when we take into consideration as well, we like the fact that Sarge streams at times, and like we want to pick up players that do actually stream because that's where we can benefit them. You know, if they're not streamers and they're just pro players, you know, we can't really offer them anything. You know, I mean, we can say like, oh, so-and-so is playing, but it'd be kind of foolish not to take advantage of the position they'd be in. But no, if you could say, for instance, right, like they were like, oh, I want to get paid, just throwing a number out there, like $1,000 a month to be a part of your org. Or it's like you can pick up like 20, 30,000 followers that year on Twitch instead of getting paid, you know? You'd have to be such an idiot, in my opinion, to not take the followers because it's that's longevity. The $1,000 a month that could be cut at any single point in time. The longevity is the fact that you're setting up your own career out of this, even if it doesn't work out, or maybe you don't want to be a part of it in a year's time, you know, is that that's the way that I go about it. That's why everything with like FaZe Clan and stuff too. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but anybody who gets into FaZe Clan blows up just because they have the name FaZe next to them. You know, everybody's like, oh my God, FaZe this, FaZe that. And they have the social medias to push those people and kind of, I don't know, even if they were to leave, their careers have completely banged from there.
Yeah, I mean, there's just, you know, FaZe Banks and all those guys that have crazy, crazy amounts of followers, subscribers on YouTube. If even if you get 5% of those people coming over to you.
Or even if you get 1%.
Right, right. I mean, just that the amount of subscribers, people following you on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, all of that is just, it gives you a certain level of branding that you wouldn't be able to get in another place. And, you know, I think that outrules that cash anytime. It makes sense.
That's the thing. But it's people, they want the cash grab. They hear what other people make, stuff like that. But I don't know. It's for us, obviously, it's not like we're going to be able to go get the best players in the world because they're on massive contracts, all of them.
Oh yeah. And Gorilla probably gets paid God knows how much.
There's a lot. There's a lot of money that goes into all of that. Yeah. But so for us, I guess like, and that's any esports organization kind of starting off is kind of finding the diamonds in the rough, the kids that are really, really good at the game, that don't necessarily have a following or anything just yet. And that's where we can completely help them out. And that's the plan with it.
Nice. Yeah. I guess speaking of the plan coming up, you know, anything else, you know, that's coming up for you that you're working on? It seems, you know, streaming, esports, all of that is a lot, but is there anything else that you're trying to work on this next year?
We're going to bring back, like how you'd mentioned at the beginning, we're going to bring back like our Sunday League soccer team. I made that the deal with everybody. I said, if we hit 100,000 on YouTube, that it'll be brought back. And no, I think it'll be a lot of fun. I think when I was originally doing it, I had like 2,000 subs, but it was getting like 2,000-3,000 views a video at that point, which is, that's, if you get a 1-to-1 ratio to your following, it's massive on YouTube. Insane. So now I've seen the whole Sunday leagues, like there's loads of people that do them on the internet. They're mainly, I think all of them are in the UK. Nobody's done it in America. Mm-hmm. So I want to take like a way more professional approach to that. And I think for me, which is weird to say, but I don't watch FIFA on YouTube. Like I just can't, I don't know why. I just think,
well, you live it, right? You
don't have to. So I get burnt out of it. And, all the people that I watch that do it, they have like their Sunday league team and stuff as well. And those are the only videos that I personally watch. And I don't know, I think it'd be fun to start playing again and hang out with all the guys that still live here. And then also maybe give some other guys a chance to come play too. I think long-term, I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. That seems like it seems like as something that's outside of what you do now and just something to be able to have fun with and not make it a job. It just sounds like it'd be a nice relaxing thing for you.
Exactly. And I think people enjoy that type of stuff too. Anytime you see anybody on Twitch do something in real life or like, you know what I mean? It's interesting to see them out of that one room you always see them in. So hopefully they'll do well. But yeah, that's about it, I think.
You're not going to be a just chatting streamer at some point in time?
No, not yet. I don't think I'm attractive enough to do that. It's the problem.
So obviously you've seen Twitch develop the last 6 years. It seems like the platform's taken a weird turn in the last couple.
Yeah.
With the just chatting streamers. What are your thoughts on that, I guess?
There's like two ends of it where basically the first guy that I ever watched on Twitch, that Raj Patel guy, he used to play RuneScape, but like not really play RuneScape. He didn't have a face cam or anything, but he was, and I still think is the most entertaining person I've ever seen on the website. Like he just knows how to put on a show. He'll bring people on. He used to do like dating shows where everybody would be talking to each other and stuff. And it was really, really fun to watch, but he obviously wasn't playing RuneScape and he would get in trouble for that. Cause like, you can't be in this category if you're not actually playing the game, you know?
Right.
So for people like him, just chatting is exactly what he needed. And I can actually go look it up right now. I think I've been following him for like 6 years, 7 years at this point. And ever since he's gone to just chatting, he has completely blown up. He went from like a 2,000-3,000 viewer streamer to like 30,000 viewers. He's nearly at 750,000 followers now too. So I think for people like him that can actually put on a good show and like he is very, very good at what he does. I think just chatting is perfect. I do think it's a little bit weird that you can just sit just chatting and just talk and all that. And there's not necessarily, I don't know. I think a lot of it can be kind of like a front for pornography. And I think that's very obvious. And most people know that now.
Sure.
With everybody adding like their OnlyFans and crap like that, or give me this much money and I'll give you my private Snapchat stuff. I don't know, which for me, that's where I thought Mixer was trying to come into the play as more of like a family friendly website. Like obviously bringing Ninja over there when Ninja wasn't doing the cussing. I think he's back to it now. But I know they're a lot more strict about what you can do on there. And yeah, I don't know. The landscape has changed a lot. I do like the idea that you can go into just chatting and people won't bitch and you can just start off your stream by talking to your community for an hour and stuff. But there are some very, very shady things that go on in there too, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think Connor's skirting around it because I think he's too polite to say otherwise. But so for those of you who don't know, just chatting is a function on Twitch where you can just hop in if you're not playing a game or anything and just talk to your community, talk to people, whatever. Lately, at least in the last, what do you say, the last couple years, this has probably been a thing, last year?
I think in the last like 2 years, it's really, really gone bad.
Yeah, it's become, instead of like people talking to the community, it's a lot of attractive women who go on there, get a community of a lot of young men who then they, you know, tend to take advantage of, whether it's by posting their OnlyFans, whether it's posting, you know, trying to get them to buy stuff on Twitter, their websites. It's changed a lot, and I have a feeling that part of the reason why Twitch doesn't police it is there's too much money in it. There's too much money in it. These people have subscribers, and I think the hard part for me is I have no problem with it. I have no problem with it to the extent of like, if this is the way you're going to use the site and they're not going to enforce it, obviously you're going to take advantage of that if Twitch isn't going to enforce it. So either Twitch has to enforce it, and if they want to, that's their prerogative. But if they don't, I mean, I'd be curious, like, obviously you can't see this data, but like, how many of your streamers do you think sit in the, or it's not streamers, how many of your followers actually sit in those just chatting streams? I don't think the percentage would be that high.
No, which like, at the same time for me, that's like, why I personally, I don't know, I just like, it's there, like, I get that it's there and stuff, but at the same time, I would never complain about it, just because like, if you're not watching it, you're not a part of it, like, who cares, you know? It's like, for me, the main concern for me is like young viewers that, you know, like if I was a parent or something like that, I'd be like, hey, you know, like I know for my aunt, she limits, I think she has it like on lock. She, like my cousin, he's younger. He's like 12, 13 years old. He's not allowed to watch, like she's not allowed to go to Twitch like by itself, but there's like individual channels that she's allowed him to click on. So he's allowed to watch like Nick A 30, the Fortnite streamer who doesn't curse at all. Like Dr. Lupo, stuff like that. So I think if you monitor it like that, it's great. But at the same time, I don't know, if at the end of the day, if you're a grown man and if you're throwing money at, you know, anybody over the internet for favors or whatever you think's possibly going to come out of it, you know, it's on you at the end of the day. But I just think Twitch would, they've been in trouble, or they've gotten backlash for banning people in the past and doing stuff to certain people and not doing it to others. And I think there's like too grave a line
that
it would wipe out the entire section if they were to actually start enforcing things.
Well, and I think that's the problem that I have, is like, it seems to be the people that, well, Twitch is a history of this, right? Of banning or putting things down on people who don't have as big of a following because there's not as much of a revenue hit for them.
Exactly.
Versus like, I mean, there was the Dr. Disrespect issue from last year, right? Where he basically went live in a public bathroom for like a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And, which is was against California state law for a lot of reasons. I think that's like a federal or a felony. And his stream was only knocked down for 3 days versus had someone smaller done that, they would have been probably banned permanently.
Because they have, yeah, there'd be no backlash or anything. It's a terrible, terrible story. There was a kid on, not a kid, the guy's probably like, I always say kid for everything. The guy's probably like 25 years old. There was a streamer who, I don't think we need to name her name, but her entire like hoo-ha fell out of her pants. She was wearing like a, was she wearing like a romper or something. She was sitting down. There's no room for imagination. You can see everything. Mm-hmm. And she was banned, I want to say, for like 3 days. So some other kid was like, it like blew up all over Twitter and stuff. So some other kid's like, yeah, like fuck it, you know? So he pulled out his balls on stream. Pulled out his balls. And bro, the kid's still not back. He's still gone. And I think it might even been like a fake pair of balls. He was just like making a joke about it. But yeah, right. If that's the problem. And I think that's one of the things as well, once you become a partner, which is decent, is that you get a partner manager. And they're in charge of a lot of people. I know they probably don't know you on a personal basis. I know my guy on a personal basis because I've been to events and everything with him now.
Right.
But the second you become a partner, you actually have someone batting in your corner, which is nice. And if you're not a partner, like say for instance, you start streaming tomorrow and you know, and you got wrongfully banned for something, there's a 0% chance they'll ever look at your account and like, no. You know, ever, because no one will be in your corner at all.
Well, don't be in your corner. And there's probably God knows how many requests in that support chat.
Exactly.
They're gonna have to sift through.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest bummer for me on Twitch is just that the enforcement seems to be a little bit lopsided, which
it's very minimal.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't affect me at all. Cause I'm not a Twitch streamer, but for you, I bet it probably frustrates you if you've had a friend who accidentally does something stupid or like, I've heard stories of like people going on YouTube and then accidentally something like some nudity pops up on YouTube on accident. And then them just getting banned outright.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, okay, well, you know, is this really, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, but I don't know. I hope Twitch figures out some way to enforce it, or maybe it's you do the mature stream thing, right? Where you have to flag yourself as I am 18 up or whatever comparatively. And then depending on what you do, if you flag yourself as 18 up or not, then they decide what the repercussions are going to be.
Yeah. No, it's weird. The whole just chatting section, I think it makes them too much money. There's people that go on there and literally just sit there and smoke weed and just talk. And it's like, this is not Twitch. Like Twitch is video games, you know?
Yeah.
But once again, it's, I don't know. For me, I don't watch it. Not my lane. So there's not much you can, I don't know. I think a lot of that stuff, a lot of the people that get mad about it, it kind of stems from jealousy, you know?
Sure.
Where it's like, oh, so-and-so is just sitting here and they're not doing anything. They're just attractive and making hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you may be grinding, you know, your ass off for 5 months and only have 10 viewers. You know what I mean? Like, and be actually good at a video game and stuff. So yeah, I think the main people that complain about it, it stems a lot from jealousy. And I don't know. I used to think a lot of it was BS and stuff, but at this point I could not care less anymore. It's just like, it's there. If you want to go watch that, like go do your thing.
Well, it's probably a lot less rage inducing than those people who actually care about it. Right.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Cool. Well, I appreciate you hopping on the podcast, Connor. It's been really good to catch up with you and hear what's been going on. If people want to watch your stuff, how do they see all the things you're doing?
Twitch.tv/BuckArmy. That is that's where I'm at, like 6 hours a night.
And it'll be weird hours too. It'll be 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. or something. So.
Yeah, something weird like that.
Sounds good, man. Well, congrats on all the success and look forward to seeing more from you in the future.